wonderful to be here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is it on? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. There goes Jake's. Testing. It is wonderful to be here this afternoon, amen, and it's wonderful to be able to talk about teens. Are you excited to talk about teens, amen? We are the parents of the teens in the church. And at times, you got a heart and you love and you're there for them. At other times, you are losing hair like me. And it's going fast. Do you see it going? It's getting thinner. Well, this afternoon, we want to speak about developing wisdom in our teens. And I think also we need to keep developing wisdom in ourselves. Because if we want to develop wisdom in our teens, it automatically goes with we need to develop their wisdom in ourselves. Facilitating responsible decision making for our teens. Our teens are going through hundreds of decisions that they need to make every single day. Decisions of, should I go this way or should I go that way? What do my emotions tell me? My emotions are up, my emotions are down. What does this friend share with me? How must I take that? They have to go through so much. And we as parents have to help facilitate decision making to give them the best chances in life. Are you with me? Proverbs chapter 3 verse 21, the word of God says, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They will keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. And what an amazing verse from God's word. And here God is saying, you know, my children, don't lose sight of common sense. And you and I have to keep on instilling that common sense and discernment in our teens. Parents, our teens are in many ways growing children, not adults yet. They're at a stage where they're on the stage and journey and they're growing. They aren't adults yet. They aren't fully grown spiritually and mentally, physically. And I know for us, when our two girls turned 13, that night before 13, the next morning at breakfast, man, it was amazing. They were like, they knew it all. They had every answer to life. They knew how to argue back. They had all the solutions. It was just like that. At 13 years old, suddenly they knew it. They didn't listen like they listened when they were preteens. They suddenly had got all the advices at school and they knew it. And I'm sure it's the same for a lot of your kids, your teens also. We cannot decide when our teens will become Christians, but we can help them become responsible citizens. Are you with me? And we must guide and facilitate them towards wise choices in life that can help them and that can guide them. And hopefully and prayerfully, they will take that advice through the journey of life. There are three killers. Are you ready for this? Killers. There are three killers to wisdom. And these killers are puny, personal example. And we've got a saying in the teens ministry, yeah, and as parents, we need to live it to give it. And how true is that? If our example is puny and doesn't balance up, our teens are going to take the wrong route. And we need to be able to live it at home to give it. We need to be able to live it at the workplace to give it. We need to be able to live it at church to be able to give it to them. And that example is so crucial. I have blown it so many times. I actually blow it daily. Every day, I think I am apologizing to one of my three girls for something that I've done wrong. Now you may be wondering, well, how on earth did they become disciples? It's in God's hands. It's not about me. And the thing that I've had to learn is they are looking for that example because I am far from perfect. My emotions go up and they go down. My feelings are there. When I hear things, I tend to react and then I have to say, I'm sorry. And hopefully the one thing that they can take through life, well, Dad did say sorry many times. You know, and man, that's what we need to imitate in him.
Amen. The other two killers to wisdom that we've highlighted, the first one is permissive boundaries. And I think one thing that's hard is there's a very big difference between a 13-year-old and an 18-year-old. But I think, you know, we need to understand that while you are supporting your child, that you still have a say. And we have to supply those boundaries from when they're 13 to when they're 18. I think, you know, sometimes parents can make the mistake of trying to be more the friend to the teen than the parent. And they don't have the emotional maturity or capacity to deal with having no boundaries. And I think, obviously, boundaries is a whole class on its own. But the great thing about the kingdom is we've got each other to ask and get help with what are appropriate boundaries for a 13-year-old and then going on up towards 18. We will bring it in more as we go along. So permissive boundaries, if you just sit back and try to be your friend, you're going to kill them being able to make wise choices. The other thing also is poor communication. Communication with your child is so, so essential. How you say things, what you communicate to them, the depth of your communication, the vulnerability, so, so important in terms of being able to help them and talk through the decisions and choices they're having to make every day. Amen.
The three C's. Three crucial areas for developing wisdom in our children. Proverbs 5 speaks about, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment and your lips will express what you have learned. And here God's word is just helping to reinforce this whole concept of wisdom. It's so important that you and I are grasping the root and really being grounded in this. Because as we are grounded in this and as we have deep conviction about this, we will be able to transfer it to our children. And as we see, the three C's here that we want to speak about this afternoon are character, chemistry, and competence. And it's so important that we are modeling these three C's in ourselves as we are trying to model them in our children. Let's unpack and start off with character.
We're going to watch a clip now. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Soul Surfer. Okay, not a lot of you. I would recommend you actually get the movie Soul Surfer. But what we're going to watch is a clip from the documentary, because it's a true story about a 13-year-old who surfed and who survived a shark attack. And the shark bit off her arm. And the documentary is there's a movie about it, and the documentary highlights and focuses on, obviously, the real person. But it shows the character of this young girl at 13, that she was able to survive this vicious shark attack and come back stronger and still become a professional surfer. So I want you to watch this, and then we'll go into character.
After the attack, I was down at the beach watching all my friends surf.
Bethany just really wanted to surf, even though she wasn't supposed to.
Because we kind of had planned for her to surf on Thanksgiving Day. But the day before Thanksgiving, she called us and she says, "I'm going out already."
So we buzzed down the beach. We got down there, and Bethany, she was amping to go out. Like, just couldn't wait to go out.
There was somebody had a longboard. I don't know, I remember whose it was, but she just paddled out on it. You know, just to see her back in the water. She still had a bandage on her arm.
Did you pray?
So we swam out. My dad had his fins. He kicked out next to Bethany. And basically, she didn't want any help.
I realized how hard it was going to be because she was on a longboard and just getting to her feet and catching waves. It was a real struggle, but one thing she's always been is a very determined young girl.
My first two waves, I tried to get up, and it was hard. It was definitely hard, and I was just trying to figure it out, and I couldn't do it, and it just kind of scared me, because I thought I might not be able to do this.
Her first couple waves, you know, she couldn't really get the balance, you know, She couldn't really figure out where to put her hand.
My dad offered help, and I was like, "No, I gotta do this on my own."
And so, boom, she got up on her third wave.
At first, I didn't think she was gonna be able to surf, and I didn't think she would want to. 2 months later, she just started, like, surfing again. It's like, I was so stoked.
The progression was, like, really, really quick. She was only on the longboard for about 2 or 3 sessions, and then she moved into a mini tank, and, like, within 2 weeks, she was starting to work her way down to a shortboard.
She gets back in the water, and she goes out there for the love of what God's given her, and that's a passion for surfing.
I didn't doubt her. I knew she had the faith, and I knew she could because she's such a courageous person. I never thought that I'd see Bethany surfing again, and I'm just really amazed that she's back in the water.
Pretty moving. And as parents, we truly want to develop character in our children. We want to help them navigate through life. We really want to get deep with them. There's a saying out there that says, character isn't inherited. One builds it daily by the way one thinks and acts. Thought by thought, action by action. And how true that is. And that's what we want to develop in our children, that we're teaching them character in the way that they're thinking and in the way that they're acting. And these are some of the important character aspects that we're really wanting to build in our children. We're really wanting to build honesty, integrity in our children. Trust that they are reliable. That they also are self-controlled. That our teens are responsible and courageous and persevere. And the two things that I want to focus on this afternoon under this point is developing honesty and integrity and learning responsibility in our teens. Proverbs 20 verse 11 says, "Even teens are known by the way they act. Whether their conduct is pure or whether it is right. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, God's word says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their teens who follow them. And God's word has deep conviction about this, that we're building this type of character in our teens. But it starts from youth. One thing that we had in our family right from the beginning, that honesty was the only way to go. That if there was any lying, it was judgment day. And I still remember Lindsay's first lie. And if you're close to Lindsay, ask her about her first lie. And she will even know what scripture was open. You know? And, you know, we went to the scriptures, we helped her out. And she said, Dad, thank you so much. Many years later, that lesson and that hiding taught her so much about honesty. And we have to be able to instill this in our children.
I think the one thing, as Dunks is saying, we demanded honesty from the children from when they were young, and especially now as well, during their teen years. I think for me also, before they were disciples, and even now, it's something I say to them all the time. I'd rather you be honest with me and share the worst of things rather than deceive me. And I used to say to them right or wrong, and I'm not prescribing this, but this was my way. I used to say to them, if you want to know what it's like to get drunk, you do it here at home. And you tell me that's what you want to know what it's like. If you want to know what it's like to smoke, you do it here. And I thought, well, I'll just give them the whole cigarette, let them finish it, let them puke, let them do whatever, so they know. But I'd rather know than not know what they're getting up to. And I think for us as parents, if you've got a teen who's lying, you have to hammer it and hammer it until you get rid of it. And I think this is something where the boundaries come in, because lying has to do with responsibility and trust. And if you can't trust your teen, they need to earn your trust and responsibility. And I think, we live in such a society of instant gratification. Our kids want. They want this, they want that, they want, and it's all today. And we even have to learn. We grew up so differently, but we've become also, we want it now, we want it today. But your teens need to earn the trust and responsibility. If they can't be truthful with you, take away their privileges. You know, even if curfews, if they can't be home on time. I saw a wonderful example I was reading. And again, this is age appropriate, from 13 to 18. But if you can ask your child, how would you like to set your own curfew? Okay, and then they look, wow, that's awesome. Okay, but there's requirements to be able to get to that point. Say, for instance, I'm just throwing it out there. You say your child, you have to be home at 9 o'clock. And so to earn it half an hour later or an hour later, they have to stick to that and stick to their word for 6 months. And so for 6 months, if they're on the dot of 9 o'clock, 1 minute after is breaking the curfew with no excuses, okay? They go, if they break the curfew, then they start all over again and it's got to be 6 months. Because they need to earn the responsibility and earn your trust in coming home later. And what we've seen with this whole thing of learning responsibility, what I see in my children, as much as we've tried to be aware of them being spoilt and we love them and we want to give to them, they think they're entitled. I don't know how many of you can relate to that. They think, it's my right, you know. And, I mean, Lindsay's just got her driver's license and there's all sorts of things that change. Yeah, she's grinning away at me. But, you know, it doesn't mean you have the right to have a car. We, in our marriage now, have just got our second car after 21 years of marriage. And I was just thinking the other day, it's the first time we each have a car. Wow. But I don't, because my 18-year-old is driving, so it's already out the house, okay? But I'm just saying how we need to teach them, and we have to sit down and talk about these character things, about what entitlement is and what being grateful, that you don't deserve to have this, and you don't deserve and are entitled to have Facebook. Ach, what are the Blackberries and cell phones and whatever else? I mean, but by the time I've got used to cell phone, we're already on to the next thing, and now it's the next thing, and I get lost anyway. But our kids can be entitled, and they have to learn and earn their responsibility and learn that honesty. Again, coming back to what I mentioned earlier, boundaries are so important. If going back to the dealing with lying and things like that, you have to put those in place. Because, you know, I think, and as Dunk says, we started when they were young. As they get older, I always say, if your 8-year-old is lying, what about when they're 14? Because there's so much more damage that can be done when they're 14 and 15. So that honesty, integrity, and learning responsibility is so crucial.
The second thing is self-control here. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, a teen without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And in those times, a city with broken down walls had no defense for that city. People could just walk in. And that city was defenseless. In the same way, our teens without self-control are defenseless against sin. If a teen does not know how to control their emotions, their hormones, their eating, their drinking, and it goes on to drugs, there is no defense against these things. And it's so important to be able to engage and understand what are these emotions that our teens are going through. An emotion like anger. And it's important to acknowledge, okay, I understand that you're angry, to hear them out. But it's also very important to correct and help them and direct that anger. And, you know, and really be able to, if teens are walking in the house and slamming doors and tantrums and getting what they want, that has to be controlled. And self-control is such an important thing. But on the other side, it's equally important to be able to uplift the success. As character is changing and developing, we need to uplift them. We need to pat them on the back. We need to hug them. We need to say that we're so proud of them. And it's wonderful to see their character change taking place. Remember, this is a journey. We're going through a journey here, developing our own characters. Even at our old age here, you know, we're still developing and growing. And so we want to impart that on to our children. I've been going through a very hard patch. Lindsay finishes school this year. And the thing that I've had to really get deep in my own emotions and feelings. At the beginning of the year, every time she mentioned, well, she wanted to go to Cape Town at the end of the year, it didn't sit right with me. And when I sat down with a brother and I started speaking about these emotions, I said, man, I don't know. I'm feeling really sad and rough. What is life about? You raise your kids and then they leave home. I don't want them to leave. I don't want them to get wings. Now I've created roots in them, and the thing that I've had to learn is now I need to create wings in them because they need to learn how to fly. And it's something that I had to get real with, and I really appreciate Lindsay because Lindsay picked this up and said, Dad, we need to talk. What are your emotions and what are your feelings? And she's pulling them out of me. And I'm like, oh, Linz, I'm feeling sad. You're so special to me. I don't want to lose. Dad, you're not going to lose me. But you need to trust God in this one. And really, that's what it's about. As wonderful for teens to also speak into your life. The second thing is chemistry.
It's so funny. I want them to get wings.
I don't.
But I'm still sad about them leaving home. It's all about perspective. But the second thing we're talking about is chemistry. And we're going to look at another film clip here. And the movie's called Girl in Progress. But it's about a young girl who is facing, her mother's actually a single mom, an absent single mom who's not very involved in her life. And how this young girl is trying to navigate adolescence and being a teen and the peer pressure she faces at school. And so under chemistry, we really want to emphasize your kids' relationships and who they're with, because it's huge as a teen. And the influence their friends start to have on them and the pressure they face every single day to be something that sometimes they're not. And let's see what happens in this movie with this young girl.
I got a 10.
Yeah, right.
Fine. Wait. What's your name? Anne.
Where'd you get the hall passes, Anne?
For me to know.
Okay. You can sit here. But the hippo's gotta go. What the hell are you looking at, huh? You got enough chins? Do I look like a meal to you? Leave her alone. I mean, look at her. She's a fat blob. The school has to reinforce her lunch tray. And her boyfriend's Ferguson.
And a flea packer?
Yeah. And her mom's a big alky who drinks all her father's money. Oh, and she dresses like a retard? Because she is a retard.
Wow. Who are our teens friends with? Who are they loyal to? Peer pressure out there. Bullying. Who do they go out with? What boys do they like? What girls do they like? And these are all things that we as parents need to be able to engage with them. It is so crucial that we are engaging on an emotional level. That we can draw things out of them. We can be real about our lives. And so that we can help them with this chemistry. Because it is crucial to know, you know, who they're hanging out. Because God's word says bad company corrupts good character. And our character will be corrupted too if we're in bad company. And this is something we need to be molding into our children. Around age 12 and 13, peer group approval becomes more important than parental approval. It really does. And this is when your children are likely to make the wrong choices in life, and problems can start from this age because of peer pressure. And that's why it is crucial for mom and dad to be guiding, to be asking questions, that our meal times are highs and lows. And when you talk about those highs and you talk about those lows, that's where you'll start to understand what emotional connection is all about. Because emotional connection is being able to listen carefully, put the right leading question in, and go on deeper and deeper, and hopefully they'll start to open up. And we need that connection with our children. Proverbs 19, verse 22, the Word of God says, Loyalty makes, and I put in here, teens attractive. It is better to be poor than dishonest. Wow. Loyalty is so important. And if we're creating that chemistry, that friendship with them, there is going to be that right spiritual growth.
No. As hard as the scene is to watch, our kids are faced with it every day. Whether they're on the receiving end or they're being forced to give it or they give it. Kids are cruel, very cruel, and can be very cruel. Mm. You know, we had a situation, I think we moved at a time that was very difficult for Lindsay. She was in grade 7, and so she went into a new group of kids in grade 7 and then had to go on to high school the next year, and so was in a whole new class again. And it was a very difficult time, at a time, as we're saying, when friendships are so important. Her friendships were just nowhere. And she actually ended up in a friendship with a girl who was bullying her. And I didn't understand at that particular time. We were still learning to communicate with each other, and I didn't understand the depth of how it was affecting her. And I could see it in her schoolwork that something was worrying her, because her marks were dropping and she was just not happy. But the one day she got home and she was just crying and crying about an incident that had happened at school. And when we eventually got to talk about this girl was manipulating her and bullying her into being and trying to, she was feeling she had to try and be somebody she wasn't. And this girl was nasty one day, sort of cool. She was in the group the one day, then out of the group, and it was destroying her. And we had to sit down and with her, and we talked about that this was a friendship she was going to have to cut out and have to say to the girl, I actually don't want to be friends with you, which was a very tough thing to do. But we prayed about it, we talked about it together, and we talked through why it wasn't helping her, and she could see that. And it was incredible. She did. She even went to the school counselor to get help with this. And she eventually sat down with the school and told her, I can't be your friend because you manipulate, you hurt me. And obviously this girl didn't take it very well, but it was a very difficult time for her. And we saw the importance of knowing what was going on in our girls' lives. The other thing, obviously, I think important for our teens is dating. Okay? I think sometimes as parents we can overreact to things that are very normal for teens to go through. They're going to find the opposite sex attractive. And if they come home and say, oh, there's this cute boy, and you go, he's not a disciple, and you go, freak out and fall out. I mean, you're not going to help the situation, and you're going to shut them down. You know, Lynn's came home and told us the one day, Mom, I'm dating. And we're like, wow. And we said, well, what does that mean? And she was like, well, you know, we're just friends. And, you know, and we talked it through. We weren't sort of, didn't throw everything at her. We just said, you know, well, you're a bit young to have a boyfriend. And, you know, but if you want to go anywhere, he needs to come to the house. We need to have supper with his parents. He needs to meet Dad. And she looked at us, she says, ooh, didn't think of that. And we never saw him, and she decided they would just be friends. Okay. But we've encouraged them during school time, the school years, to be friends with lots of different boys. And they change weekly. You know, the good friends are close friends. But it's so wonderful also in the teen ministry. I love the connection we have with Joburg, America, this and that. But we've actually said, we don't want you to date until you finish school. Once you finish school and you date somebody, great. But school is a time to enjoy friendships. Mm. Get to know people. It's not the time to get so emotionally connected and complicated, and just be friends and enjoy time together. Yeah. I mean, I know we're running out of time.
Just picking up here, there's a story I want to let you guys know about. Dating, because this is a real thing. Our girls, our boys are attracted. Now, there's this cute boy that lives up the road, and I've never met the guy, but apparently he owns some snakes. And he's invited one of my girls to come and see the snakes. And so they approached me and said, Dad, can we go and see? And I said, but if you're going to go and see the snakes, I'm going to come with you to see the snakes because I want to see these snakes. And the snake's in the garage. So I said, well, I'll come along and see the snakes. Oh, but Dad, you don't understand. I said, is this about the snakes or is this about the boy? And this is what it's about. And the thing that we have to point out is we trust you, but we don't trust Satan. Yes, and when we pointed that out, Dad, I understand. Thank you very much. And hopefully that's the end of the snake guy. Our final point here is competence. Amen.
Oh, my dads and daughters, hey? He'd be happy if they didn't ever get married. Okay. Competence. This film clip is from a movie called Facing the Giants. And in competence, we really want to highlight helping your kids give their best. I won't say any more. We'll just watch it.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, bro?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you've got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
But I have strength.
And you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going, you're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
It burns.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. No, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me more. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Pretty powerful stuff. And really, this is crucial, that we are creating competence in our teens. That our teens are focused. That our teens are healthy. That our teens are fit. That our teens are giving the best ability that they can give. God's blessed each one of them with gift sets. And it's so important that they recognize that and do not give up. It's a principle, and it's something that we need to instill in them. Because when they become disciples, if we instilling that in them, they will not want to give up in their walk with God. Because your walk with God, as we know, it is tough. At times you want the back door. At times you want to go. And if we not developing this inside them, and they're underdeveloped, you never know where a lack of this could lead them. Proverbs 22. Now, this is a very convicting scripture. Verse 30, it says, I walk by a field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then I looked and thought about it. I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a folder of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Laziness destroys competence. And as we see in that clip there, a lot of it is about not giving up, is using the abilities that God's blessed you with and not giving up. And one of the things that I taught Lindsay is we rode a mountain bike race about 2 years ago. And it was quite a long race. And at about 30 Ks, which was a 50 K race, she wanted to stop. I said, Linz, we're going to finish this. Even if we have to walk with our bikes, we're going to finish this. We started it, and we're going to finish as a team. And I think we came in really near the end, and she actually got the prize for the first teen in, you know. But man, and as she came in, everyone was waiting. It was like heaven. Chariots of fire, not quite, you know. But it was like she was crying and I was crying and Lisa was crying. But she grew that day. Competence was there. It's hard work. Lisa will be closing off here.
You know, the sad thing is that it's during the teen years that many mental disorders develop in teens. Girls with eating disorders, depression, anxiety, all those different things. And it comes from not being competent to face the issues in life in terms of the peer pressure and things like that, and having nobody to turn to very often and nobody, you know. And so it's so important that we're helping to deal with these things in our kids. You know, there's so much to be able to talk about, but we've got to be able to help our children develop their self-confidence and self-esteem, because that is going to carry them through life. How they see themselves, how they see other people seeing themselves is so important. And all these lessons, whether it's to do with sport or schoolwork, One thing we've always emphasized with our girls is to give their best, not be the best, but to give their best. Yeah. Some kids, their best is only a C. Some kids are the A students. But whichever way, as long as they're giving their best, that's the most important.
Just some closing thoughts here. You are not the only force in your child's life. And it's so important to get help. Teens are looking up and they need other adults in their life. And those adults can see a lot of the things that are in our blind spots. And we need them in our lives. The second thing is, love covers over a multitude of sins. I blow it on a daily basis. But I love my girls deeply. I love them from the bottom of my heart, and they know that. And we all fail at many things, but love covers over a lot of those sins.
As we're concluding here, how many of us did stupid things as teenagers and campus students?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Our teens can do bad things and turn out okay.
That's right.
Because you believe in them.
Yep.
And you give mercy and grace as God did to us. Mm. Okay, they have to learn. They have to make mistakes. I think that nervousness and fear that comes with the what ifs. What if they never become a Christian? What if they do this? What if this happens? Will stop you from effective parenting. Mm. Rather, trusting God, giving Him the fears, and doing what you can to help your children through those times. I think also sometimes the reality is you can do the right things and things go wrong. Mm. Okay? It happens. You are not God. Your child is an individual.
Yep.
They have to make their own choices. And we've got to learn to show that unconditional love. We've got to be there for them. Never give up praying for your teens. Never give up. I appreciate what Dave shared earlier. Even if they're 40, once they're 40 or 50, never give up on your children. I mean, your teens won't be 40. You know what I'm saying. Never give up on your children. Because, you know, we can never stop believing that God's going to work. I think what Dang said too, I think for us is to see our journey. We're also always growing in our characters, our chemistry, our competence. And so are our teens. And as God, as we give that grace to each other and we get it from others, we need to always be there to give it to our kids. Amen?
Amen. It is more important to know where you are going than to see how fast you can get there. And that's the journey that we're on. Remember the killers, a puny personal example, permissive boundaries, and poor communication. And let's be developing wisdom in our teens through character, chemistry, and competence. Amen.